For those of y'all who don't know me, I'm Jody. I did this probably about a year and a half ago. And as soon as I got up here, I realized, hey, more importantly than me being Jody, those of y'all would probably better know me as Miss Bruning's husband, because about everybody's had her. But a year and a half ago, I shared that my wife is definitely the teacher of the two of us. I am more of a facilitator than I am a teacher. I have the high school boys for a small group, Austin and I do, and I love facilitating. I am not a very good lecturer. So with that being said, as we go through this tonight, I want to make sure that y'all kind of help me out. I need help. So y'all kind of help me out. There'll be some questions, and we'll just kind of work through Matthew 6. But if I do ask something, don't be afraid to say something, because it'll break up the awkward tension where I need you and I need y'all to help me out. So with that being said, tonight we are going to talk about treasures. So question number one, what do you treasure most? If I was to ask any one of you what you treasure most, what would your answer be? Anybody? Because I'm not scary enough to start picking on people. What's your treasure? I saw you raise your hand. Thank you so much. You're helping me out. What do you treasure most? Your family? Perfect. Casey, what do you treasure most?
My friends.
Your friends. Matthew, what did Casey say? Her phone? That's okay. That's all right. Yes, ma'am. Softball team. Yes, ma'am. Your Mimi? Your grandmother?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yes.
My grades.
Your grades? Okay. Yes. Your mom. Okay. Perfect. All right. So question number two. If I was to ask you to define treasure, how would you define treasure? Because we've all said, hey, I know what my treasures are. How would you define your treasure? What if I just said, hey, define treasure? Somebody give me what they think treasure is. Something you care about. Yes, ma'am. Something you like. Yes, sir.
Something you highly value.
All right. Anybody else? I'm not gonna make it awkward, because I actually went through here and I looked at these as well. And I looked at what I treasure most, and I got to thinking about it, and I'm like, what do I treasure most? And it come back to being able to communicate and help people. I get to wake up every single morning, and when I put my feet on the floor, there's probably anywhere from 4 to 7 different 3D puzzles that I get to build every day. And inside of those puzzles, there's probably 40 different companies that I work with. And so there are people moving around, there are questions being asked, there are problems to be solved, and every day I get to wake up and I get to figure out how to build a puzzle over here and a puzzle over there, and I got to figure out what I did wrong over here, and please tell me I did something right over there. And we get to build these, and I get to build these puzzles, which I call houses. And so for me, communicating and sharing info is something that I treasure. It's something that I love, which probably is also why, more important than building houses, I, with a passion, love coaching my kids. I have coached every sport known to man. Well, I haven't coached cheerleading or hockey. Thank goodness on cheerleading, I would be a terrible hockey coach. But I have coached just about everything possible when it comes to my kids. You're shaking your head. I would be a terrible. Yeah, upward hockey. We need to take and put a pin in that one right now. Upward hockey. Okay, we're going to get back on track. We're going to get back on track. All right, I can't tell you enough how much I love coaching in the difficult times, because I can tell you we have practiced hours, and my daughter will tell you we've practiced hours, and when she goes to the free throw line, she's going to know exactly what I'm going to say, because I'm not going to say look at a certain spot on the rim. I'm not going to say take 2 dribbles. I'm not going to say spin it. I'm going to say finish. Finish high. When it comes to my son, we practice for hours. He loves playing soccer. We practice for hours so that whenever he goes to strike a ball, his weight is fully into that ball. My other son loves baseball. Loves baseball. We make sure for hours we go to practice. His feet are centered between his shoulders. I'm not going to look at Casey Hart when I say this, but you are all going to laugh. Whenever he swings, he stays high, and he does not dip that back shoulder so that he pops up to the catcher. I got you. That is my treasure. Not the when I get to a point where Hannah hits a free throw, or Hudson scores a goal, or Hayden hits something that's over my head, not me, hopefully not me because I've been hit too many times this year pitching, but if he hits one over my head, I get so much satisfaction in seeing my kids succeed. And a lot of your treasures the same way. What do you get satisfaction in? So the question is, we go back to it. How do you define treasures? And I looked up Google, and AI told me that treasures are defined as a store of accumulated valuables like money, jewels, or valuable objects, or to anything or anyone greatly valued or prized. That's a lot of words. Treasures, money, jewels, valuable objects. We listed that. A lot of people said they treasured playing softball. Your softball glove, your softball bat. Somebody said phones. I'm not going to pick on her because I picked on her enough. Or anything or anyone greatly valued. You talked about your grandparents. You talked about your parents. You talked about your families. We see what Google defines as treasure. The problem is Google's of this world. So if this is how Google defines treasure, then how does the Bible define treasure? And that's what we're going to get into tonight. So we are kicking off upside down. Tonight we're talking about treasures, and we're going to be in Matthew 6, 19 through 24. I've kind of hinted at it already, but there are two types of treasures. The first one we're going to talk about is a worldly treasure. And if I was to say, what is a worldly treasure, how would you define a worldly treasure? Not Google, AI, the big long thing, but if I just said, Sam, tell me what a worldly treasure is, how would you quickly define that?
Something that is an object in this world.
It just makes you happy, right? Most of the time, it's just got a momentary satisfaction to it, right? Okay. How many of you who were on Sunday? What have we been talking about on Sunday? What did we talk about last Sunday? His name started with a J. Well, we did talk about Jesus, but Jeroboam. And what did Jeroboam do? What did Jeroboam do? He built idols, right? Something that created a worldly satisfaction because, and I'm not going to ask a bunch of questions about this because there's a lot of detail in it, but he didn't want his people going all the way to Jerusalem. It was too far. He was scared he was going to lose them. So for a momentary satisfaction, he created two idols. He hit the easy button and he said, hey, we'll go right here. That's easy. So let's see what the Bible has to say about worldly treasures. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Recap, what does that say? What are we reading here? Somebody tell me exactly what this means in layman's terms. Simple terms, what do you see? Anybody? We got two options. We can lay up for ourselves treasures on earth. What'll happen to them? Somebody read it out loud. What happens if we lay up for ourselves treasures on earth? What does it say? Moss and rust will destroy it, or it'll turn to dust, or where thieves will break in and steal it. And option number four for us, because back in this day, they probably didn't have dumpsters. But nowadays, we hoard up a bunch of stuff, and then 5, 6, 7, 10 years later, we just take it and throw it in a dumpster, and it's gone, right? Maybe less than five, right? Yeah, I know. So what does that mean? What does it mean to not lay up for yourselves treasures of the earth? Does that mean that I have to give up everything that I enjoy in the earth, of the earth? I mean, we talked about earthly treasures earlier. We had this big, long list. Does that mean that I have to give up my meemaw or my grandparents or my family or my ball glove? Does that mean that I got to give that stuff up? No. What does that mean? That means that I can't table Christ to focus on things of this world. That means if I get my ball glove out and I'm ready to go play ball And I walk out on that field and I say, God, I'm going to put you over here in a box. I'm not going to pay attention to you. I'm going to focus on things that are important to me right now in this world. I'm going to focus on this glove. I'm going to focus on this bat. I'm going to focus on this bank account. I'm going to focus on this social media page. I'm going to focus on this car, Riley Hall. I'm going to focus on these things that make me happy in this world. We don't get to table Christ and turn around and say, you know what, I'm going to live it for myself. We do. We can say that, but what happens? Moth and rust will destroy it. Let's go on to 22 and 23. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? So your eye has two options here. Your eye can be full of light. Your eye can be full of darkness. If you were a betting man, somebody tell me what they mean by light. If your eyes are focused on light, what are your eyes focused on? Say it louder. Who said it? Perfect. Jesus. If your eyes are focused on darkness, what are your eyes not focused on? Jesus. So now the tough question is, now the question that nobody likes answering, what are your eyes focused on? Are they? Are your eyes focused on Jesus? The better question is, who are your eyes focused on? Are my eyes focused on my social media page? Am I so worried about my next like that I have tabled Christ over here and said, I'm going to put you over here, and I'm going to walk over here, and I'm going to be focused for hours, death scrolling, hoping that while I'm death scrolling, I get a like? Or better yet, who are my eyes focused on? I'm going to pick on Jacob right now, because everybody knows Jacob. I'm going to pick on him. Jacob and I, we are basically like brothers. We pick at each other. We love each other. We love playing ball together. We love talking sports together. Jacob and I can have a Christ-centered gospel conversation while playing ball. If Jacob never cared about... We try and share the gospel when we play ball. We have the ability to share the gospel when we play the ball. If Jacob didn't follow Christ, and I spent all my time around Jacob, if any one of my other friends did not follow Christ, and I wanted to follow them, would my eyes be filled with light? If I had a girl that I really liked, which I do because I'm married, but if I was a youth, if I were one of you, and I had a girl that I really liked, or if you were a girl and you had a guy that you really liked, and he could give two flying flips about Jesus, who are you chasing? Are you chasing somebody that's going to help guide your eyes to the light? So the question is, what are you watching? What are you taking in? Who are you watching? Who are you taking in? Are they building you up? Or are they filling you full of darkness? The good news is we get to go to the last verse, 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. The good news is there are two types of treasures. We talked about one. It is an earthly treasure. It takes away the light. It only guides you towards darkness. But there is a second option, and that option is Christ. Again, let's go back to Jeroboam. What did Jeroboam create? Somebody said it earlier. What did Jeroboam build? He built what? Idols. What kind of idols? Golden calves. How many of them did he build? Okay, perfect. See, y'all are doing good. This is helpful. I love it whenever I get responses. All right. Jeroboam took an entire people and shifted their eyes away from Christ into an earthly treasure. An entire people. Did I miss something? I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought I saw a hand go up. I apologize. No. Over here. So the real question is, what is an eternal treasure? Because if we see that earthly treasures do us no good, if we see that earthly treasures lead us towards darkness in our eyes, if we see that earthly treasures are taken over by moss and dust and rust and thieves and stuff that will eventually go in the dumpster, if we see that we have all these worldly treasures that do us no good, and we understand and we can see that there is an eternal treasure, what does that mean for us? How would you define an eternal treasure? And I'll tell you how I will. Because I wrote it down because I thought of this and I thought, and Christ gave it to me and I thought, my goodness, there's no way I could ever think of this. Christ put this on this paper. I'm not smart enough to think of this. It is my forever comfort knowing that this is not my home. My eternal treasure is a forever comfort knowing that this is not my home. There is a city on a hill. And there is a place where a space has been designed specifically for me so that I can spend eternity with Christ. We have two choices. You have two choices. When you walk out that door, you get to choose. Am I going to walk out this door and focus on my bank account? Am I going to focus on how I get gas money so that I can drive to and from? Am I going to focus on a job so that I can put money in my bank account, so that I can pay for gas, so that I can drive a car? Am I going to focus on the accolades, the sports trophies, the sports rings? Am I going to focus on whatever else it might be that is of this world that gives us a momentary satisfaction? Am I going to table Christ and I'm going to say, Christ, you're over here, but I'm going to go do all these things? Am I going to walk out that door and choose that I want to live for myself? Or am I going to walk out that door with the understanding that there is a city on a hill that has a place specifically designed for me? And if I understand that, then this is not my life. It's not mine to choose whether I want to focus on the likes for social media or my bank account or my ball glove or whatever it is that takes place of Christ when I table him over in a corner. The good news is we get to choose. Each and every single one of you get to choose. You get to choose when I leave here. Am I just going to keep doing it for myself? Or when I leave here, am I going to do it for eternity? So we're going to run back to D groups right now. I got a couple more questions that will compound on what we just talked about with treasures. If you haven't made a choice, if you don't know, if you want to understand more, please get with Jacob. If you don't understand what an eternal treasure is, talk with Jacob, talk with me, talk with somebody. If you recognize that, hey, he's right, I walk out this door and I know that I'm living for myself and I don't need to do that anymore. Somebody here would love to talk to you about that. If you realize, hey, I have Jesus, but I've been tabling him an awful lot. I've been setting him off to the side and I've been doing things on my own and I really just haven't done anything that I was supposed to do. That's what D groups are for. We're here to build each other up. We're here to hold each other accountable. We're here so that when we leave this place and we walk out that door and we go to school, we have somebody that helps us see the light and not the darkness. Let's pray and then we'll go to D groups. God, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to jump into your word. Sometimes it's painful to read because I am a sinner. I am saved by grace, but I am a sinner. And sometimes it is far too easy for me just to want to do things for myself, want to live for myself, want to focus on myself. So, God, I just ask that as we go into D groups and as we leave this room tonight, God, may we just have the strength and the courage to keep our eyes on you, our focus on you, and allow ourselves to turn our lives over to you because, God, your plan is far greater, far better, and far more perfect than anything we could ever imagine. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.